Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. I thank God for this opportunity to come and to share. I've been helped immensely in this service. Your pastor is a wonderful man. Yes, he is. He's a bright, energetic. Whenever I'm in a meeting with him, I've learned to expect several things. One, his complete attention. And to respect his capacity to understand, and as a young man, his wealth of knowledge. Yes. He knows so much for a young man. And also, he brings out those devices. He knows how to handle it, I tell you. And I thank God for that. Our ministers need to be kept up to date with what's going on in the world. And you can't be effective if you're not with the technology. But you know that. That's where our people are. The challenge of all of our youngsters. Some of them are handling these devices right now, texting, and all of that. Yeah, I understand. Pastor is your pastor. And I thank God for a man like that. And for this church, I knew Dr. Woodson. He too was a marvelous man. As he indicated, I worked with Leon Sullivan in various roles, and one of the roles was when he was on the board of General Motors, the first black. We had to find ways to make his presence on the board of directors meaningful and responsive to the needs of our people. And one of the gentlemen who came from Trenton to Philadelphia to engage in some conversation about that role that Dr. Sullivan had in General Motors was the late Dr. Woodson. It was my pleasure to be a part of that meeting and to see these two giants engage in dialogue about how we can best help our people. And it was in that kind of meeting that plans were laid out to get more procurement opportunities for black businesses, and to get more dealerships, more managers in the many factories that General Motors had around the world. Your former pastor, Dr. Woodson, helped to bring all of that about. And I often wondered who would follow him. I finally met this young man, and as I listened to him, I said, it looks like Dr. Woodson had something to do with him being here. And it's been a remarkable choice. Amen. And it's been a good feeling to know that somebody like Darrell Armstrong is pastoring in New Jersey. And I read all of these reports about the difficulties you have here and challenges that you have here. And for an old man like myself, it's easy for my eyes to get red and shed a tear. But then the Spirit moves. And he says, remember, I have servants in Trenton. And one of them is Darrell Armstrong. God bless you, son. God bless you. And Lady Armstrong, she's not here. Yeah. I go on your site. My children taught me how to turn the thing on and find websites. So I had to come to this website here. And I came and I heard him preach a couple of Sundays ago, and I heard the lady preach last Sunday. Yeah. And from the 61st chapter of Isaiah. But before that, I heard him preach from John 14. And talked about the Holy Spirit. I said, that's my man. And that's what I want to talk about today. I want to follow up on that text, on that theme. My son is here with me. He's from Detroit. He's one of these super managers and with the Price Waterhouse, partner for several years, and a very bright, bright young man. And he's a member of the Hartford Church in Detroit. Stand up, Derek. This is my son. This is my son. Brilliant young man. Brilliant. Took after his mama, took after his mama.
Dr. Romans, I think I just, if I may, that was such a wonderful segue, the fact that your son is here. We didn't know he would be here. From Detroit, the congresswoman from the 14th Congressional District in Detroit happens to be here with us, and that's Brenda Lawrence. We're going to have her say a word afterwards. God hooked that up. God hooked that up. Amen.
Yeah, God hooked that up. remember that, Derek, remember that. And this young man is Dr. Taylor, who came with me here this morning. Dr. Taylor is a PhD. It means something to some people. But he's a productive PhD. He serves our people. He is the head of an organization that serves 12,000 people who need help in this whole welfare system. And he works with them. He serves them. 12,000. Kenneth Taylor, Dr. Kenneth Taylor. Wonderful, wonderful man. Wonderful man. I need your prayers. My name is Gus Roman. Call my name. Let's pray. Father, we don't live by bread alone. Sometimes we get off course and think we can, but it never works. So Holy Spirit, in the name of Christ, minister to us. The word we will refer to is the word that you gave. And that word is food for us. As you have moved, continue to move, Holy Spirit, so our Christ can be honored, and you, God, can be glorified, and the Holy Spirit be pleased. In the name of Jesus. Amen. I've been living a long time, over 80 years now, like 83. So I try to talk with some reference to what I've learned and what I'm learning. And I have come to the exciting conclusion that one of the tragic errors congregations have made and believers have made is that they have overlooked, we have overlooked, the operational presence of the Holy Spirit. It brings tears. And I often ask, son, what went wrong that we can attempt, son, to do all of these things without him? I wonder what went wrong, sir, that we can believe that a few degrees and a little experience in the corporate world, developing strategic plans and being acquainted with the experts in management and all of that, and neglect the wisdom, the strengthening presence, the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We can't do it. And wherever I go, I expect a few criticisms. So what else is new? They call me a Pentecostal Baptist and this, whatever. I just want to tell it the way it is. Christ did not leave without providing help for you. His assessment was, son, a handsome young man like, his assessment was, bright young man like you are, you look like you can be a cousin of Aristotle. You look so smart. But he left here saying, I have asked the Father, I pray the Father, to send, to give to you the Paraclete. Because Jesus knew, I cannot claim to love you and leave you and not provide for you while I am away. makes no sense. I wouldn't leave you because I know what's out here to hurt you. I know the kind of demons that are out here. I know the screw tape crowd. I know the evil one and the evil ones. And you cannot make it without the Holy Spirit. Don't try it. Don't try it. It makes no sense. Yeah, it makes no sense. Makes no sense. Makes no sense at all. Why be so foolish when God has made provision for you to have the help, all of the help that you need, and you turn your back on it? Makes no sense. Let me get a couple of scriptures here. As a subject, I want this subject to be a challenge to wait for the Holy Spirit. Because I think that's where we are. I know the Holy Spirit has come, ma'am. The Holy Spirit has come historically. The Holy Spirit has come on the day of Pentecost over 2,000 years ago. He came. He spoke in that upper room. He came. And the world was blessed because the Spirit blessed them and led them. But as I said earlier, somewhere along the way, we lost touch. What I'm challenging everybody I talk to is that we have to go back, son, and be challenged to wait, to seek, and to wait for the Holy Spirit, to get to know Him, cultivate a relationship with Him. Yeah. Turn to Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 4, and stay in that first chapter for a minute. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, listen to this, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which said he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. In Jerusalem, I want you to go there, and I want you to wait for the promise. Now, while you have your Bibles, I want you to stay right there in chapter 1, verse 12. Then returned they unto Jerusalem. It looked like they listened. It looked like they obeyed. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon Zelotes, Judas, the brother of James, these all continued, listen to this, with one accord. With one accord. In prayer and supplication. With the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. So you may be seated. I'm not talking about the Holy Ghost coming again. He's already here. I'm not talking about coming up with another Pentecost day. We've had that Pentecost day. The Spirit of God is here. Is here. Now, Jesus told them, he said, fellas, I want you to go to Jerusalem, and I want you to wait. Don't depart. I'm commanding you to do this. And you stay there until you receive the gift, until the Holy Spirit comes. Well, in the next passage that I read, it's one thing for him to say it, but what will they do with it? They obeyed, and they went to Jerusalem, and they went to this large room, this upper room, 120 of them, son. And they waited, and they waited. But while they were waiting, they were in one accord. They were in prayer, waiting. And in chapter 2, verses 1 to 4, the Holy Spirit came. The fulfillment came. Who told them to wait for the promise of the Father? Jesus did. Listen, young lady, this is his word. This is not anybody talking. He is credible. They had been with him long enough to know that when he said something to you, you can trust it. I wouldn't tell you to go to Jerusalem and wait. I wouldn't tell you to do that if I didn't have the authorization to do that. Always do what my Father. And you have been with me. You have been with me. You saw miracles. You were with me. You saw wonders. You are with me. Now I'm commanding you. I'm really not asking you, son. I'm commanding you. And it's for your own good. And you can believe in me. Believe in me. I want you to wait for the promise of the Father. Can you trust me? Will you trust me? And so the one who is giving the order, young lady, the one who is giving the order is one who is credible, one who can be trusted. Can be trusted. Other thing is, I don't think he would say anything to us that could not backed up with the cosmic power in this universe. He said, if I go to Jerusalem and wait, if I go to Jerusalem and wait, you know, Jesus, you know these Sadducees and Pharisees, you know these Herodians, you know these crazy people there, you know what they did to you. I don't have to remind you about that. I'm glad you got up from the dead and all of that, but if we go back to Jerusalem, come on, Jesus. That's where they did it to you. That's where the crooks hang out. That's where the Sanhedrin have their meetings. And that's where Herod would come and visit, and that's where Pilate is. And you are saying, go back to Jerusalem? It makes no sense. No. Sometimes it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to do what he tells you to do. It doesn't make sense to walk around the walls of Jericho and blow horns on the seventh day. And the walls might not make any sense. Might not make any sense for a woman long beyond her birth-giving age to have a child. But if God, you listen to me, young man. If God said it, you go back to Jerusalem. I'm going to back you up. Nobody's going to hurt you because my word is with you. My angels are looking out for you. You go back to Jerusalem. So I know Herod and his crowd. They hang out there. I know Pilate. Got all of those soldiers there. I know all about that. I know the crooks in the Sanhedrin, in the court system, and I know all of that. And I know they don't like me, and some of them will recognize you. But if I told you to do it, you can assume that I have made provisions for you to wait. And nobody's going to... When God tells you to do something, might not make any sense and might even be dangerous. But if God said it, believe that he's made provisions. He's got angels watching over you. So he went. They went to Jerusalem. They had enough sense to trust Jesus. And they had one of the favorite things that so many of us lack. They had obedience. I love it. Obedience. They went there. Now, when you get there, are we going to have a lecture in the Socratic method? When they get there, we're going to deal with some Aristotelian philosophy or Plato. But when we get in this place, all of us there, what we going to do? We going to have a lecture on Jean-Paul Sartre or Heidegger or somebody? What we going to do? We going to have a lecture on Bertrand Russell? What are we going to do? She said, no. We all know what we have to do. We're going to pray. I love it, son. I love this so much. I think Socrates and those guys are great, and Heidegger and Sartre, all of those guys are great, and all of that sort of thing. And some of our black scholars, too. Now, I just don't want to talk about those Greeks and whatever, you know. They're great, they're great. But I'm talking about another agenda now. I'm talking about a world that's not saved. And a people, leaders have to be prepared to deal with that. So when you, listen to me, sir, you back there, when you come together, you better have enough sense to know that you got to pray. Got to pray. Father, I stretch my hand to thee. No other help I know. The old timers would split verbs and have dangling participles and all of that. But this is not a class in grammar. I'm calling to God. Our folks had that. Our folks had that. Our folks had it. They went to their Jerusalem and they prayed. Love it, love it, love it. Love it. I'm not just talking about an individual praying. I'm talking about a church praying.
All right.
Now we got some problems now. We got some problems. And one of the problems is it's a diverse community. We got white folks and black folks. We got brown folks and red folks. All of them trying to reach a one accord. And they have enough sense to know that you can't get that one accord without prayer. Listen to me. Listen to me. If I don't like you and I'm not praying, there is nothing going to make me like you unless you got some green stuff that I'll take from you, but that doesn't mean my heart's changed towards you. But prayer does something else. Prayer will make your heart soft. Prayer will open your mind. Prayer will make you go the second mile. Prayer will make you smile when your enemy is frowning. We can't have the one accord without prayer. Yellow folks got to get along with dark skin. Hello, somebody. Good hair folks got to get along with kinky hair. Come on, somebody. North Carolina folks got to get along with South Carolina folks. Come on, somebody. In that room, we're going to get our one accord when we learn how to pray. Here I am sitting in this room with Mary Magdalena. Oh, wicked Mary. What am I doing with her? But if I keep on praying, I'm going to stop rolling my eyes at Mary. If I keep on praying, I'm going to start smiling at Mary. If I keep on praying, I will hug Mary. Do I have a witness in the house? I dare you. I dare you get a prayer meeting. I dare you look for the one accord. And you can't have one accord if there is no prayer. Wow. Wow. What would Trenton be like? If all of the big shots.
Yes, sir.
And the little shots come together in a prayer meeting. All of the folks, all of the folks who are up there and the folks down there. It's not going to be easy getting started. But I tell you, when you show up, pray. You're going to look at folks it was hard for you to say hello to. But as you pray with them, pray for them. I know it can happen. I tell you, I know it can happen. I'm a witness. Because I've had some folks who couldn't stand me. And I got a secret. I didn't like them either. But when we prayed, when we talked to God together, when we lifted our hearts to God, when we did that, God knocked down the partition. God knocked down the separation. Do I have a witness in the house? What we have to do is have some good old-fashioned prayer. Please be seated. This old man here. There they are praying, looking for this one accord. God's not going to use you if you don't work hard to see me as your brother. I mean, it doesn't work that way. You can't get the vertical stuff straight if you're not working on the horizontal stuff. And it takes a prayer meeting. It takes a prayer meeting. I have some folks I pray with every Saturday at 8 o'clock. And we just keep on praying. Church got a lot of challenges, a lot of headaches, a lot of problems. So we just go keep on praying. And keep on praying. Because God's going to give us a breakthrough. I see Trenton. I see Trenton. I see Trenton. And there are many Trentons in this nation. I see Trenton, your Trenton. And I see you who love God. I dare you, come together for prayer for Trenton. I dare you, come. I dare you, come and pray for the mayor like you never prayed for him before. And if it needs to be shaken up, let it be shaken up. Pray for the governor. Pray for the governor. Pray for the legislature. Pray right here. I dare you do it. And I tell you, God will show up. He'll show up. Prayer. He'll show up, boy. Lady, you show up. We come together. And all these other churches out there, invite them to a big prayer meeting. Say, what y'all doing? We having a prayer meeting for Trenton. Hey. Satan! Who's that calling me? Satan! We gonna tear your kingdom down. Satan, we gonna tear your kingdom down. That comes out of a prayer meeting. And God will send you whatever you need, all the experts you need, all of the statisticians you need, all of the management folks you need. God got them everywhere. And when you start praying, you'll be surprised where they are. A whole lot of them are right in your midst. But what you don't have, God will send. If he has to go to Germany and get some, he'll put them on a boat and send them right to Trenton. Send them right. If he has to go to Japan, go to China, wherever, God has a way of sending what we need so the kingdom can be built. You're the church to do it. I'm sorry to say this, but you're the pastor to do it. You're the church to do it. You got that DNA, that thing, that spiritual DNA. Y'all got it. It's in your system. This is why I'm talking to you the way I'm talking to you. Because God has put you on the spot. You are here. You are here to lift him up right here. And this place is going to change. I mean, so not change, because you have a prayer meeting. And there ain't no big folks, little folks. Not in this prayer meeting. Nah, I better stop. But you can't stop. You can't stop without chapter 2. You can't stop because we have a prayer meeting, sir. Yes, sir. And light-skinned folks and dark-skinned folks now hugging one another. Kinky-haired folks and straight-haired folks. Ain't nothing wrong with that, honey. I'm from Louisiana. I'm from the dark side. I understand what's going on. But some of my buddies, after we had a prayer meeting, I don't care how yellow their skin was, how white their skin was, after a prayer meeting, we learned how to dance together. But it's a beautiful thing, isn't it, in chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost had fully come. When the day of Pentecost had come, suddenly there came a sound from heaven. I hear something. These folks who've been praying, they've been laughing at us in the prayer meeting. Some of us were scared in the prayer meeting. But you stay in the prayer meeting, God's going to give you power and strength. God's going to give you wisdom. God's going to send you what you need. You'll have experts rushing to Trenton. Say, where are you going? The Lord is calling me to Trenton. I got to go to Trenton. Somebody is praying in Trenton. And I got to go there. Say, where are you going? I'm going to that 340. Is that it? I can't make it out. Is it 340? I got it. And it's that Woodson Way. Woodson. Where is that, boy? It's right down there. That's they will come from everywhere to make a brand new Trenton. The prayer meeting is not enough. The 1 o'clock is not enough. You need power. And on the day of Pentecost, the sound came like a mighty rushing wind. I hear it. And the room where they were, that sound filled the room. And they saw tongues, split tongues, that lit on everybody. On the brothers, listen to me, on the brothers, but also on the sisters. The Holy Ghost, brothers got to understand this one. Got to receive this one. Got to receive this one. When the Holy Ghost shows up, he's not just coming to give his anointing to the brothers. Come on here. Come on here. Come on here, brother. I know you're a macho brother and all of that, but the Holy Ghost ain't got no bias here. He's not coming just to anoint you. He's coming to anoint Mary. Mary Magdalena, Joanna, Susanna, that other Mary, and Martha, and her sister, and all of them. So don't you get your macho self out of whack. When the Holy Ghost comes, he comes to give his anointing to everyone who is in that room. Do I have a witness? Do I have a witness? Do I have a witness? Let me hear you say yes. And when the Spirit comes, things are going to change. I'm going to change. You're going to change. This place is going to change. Change is going to come everywhere. So my prayer is today, Spirit, what do you want, old man? Spirit, what do you want, old man? Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me, on this church. Break me, break us, melt us, melt us, mold us, mold us, shape us up, use us, Spirit. Let me hear you say it, Spirit of the living God, fall, fall afresh on us, on us, on us. Amen. Amen.
Everyone standing to their feet. Come on, give God a praise offering. Bless the name of the Lord. Spirit of the living God. Deacons and deaconess clergy, the gospel has gone forth with power and with might. We believe that someone, everyone, needed to hear the word. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh. I pray that that's somebody's prayer today. I pray that it's everybody's prayer today. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. God wants to do something in you. God wants to do something with you. God wants to do something for you. But you need to let go and let God. If there's someone here today who has never made the decision to trust God and to go where God, where we may not really understand where God wants us to go, I want you to let go and let God today. Go ahead and sing choir. And as the choir sings, the invitation. The invitation. The invitation is extended to someone. Anyone here? Anyone here today?
I want to walk in the newness of life.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, let me be a follower.
Thank you, Lord.
Christ.
Anyone here today? Anyone here today?
I want to be.
You want to join the church? This is your time to do so. Have your way, Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus.
I want to walk in the newness of life.
In the name of Jesus.
So let me be a follower of Christ.
Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you right now for what our eyes have seen, our ears have heard, and our hearts have felt. We thank you for your word, God, for the challenge to come together in prayer, for the challenge to cross boundaries and to understand that you are a way maker and a burden bearer. God, we thank you today for your servant, Reverend Dr. Gus Romans, for using him in a mighty and powerful way, oh God. And so I ask right now that the word would shake up somebody, everybody and anybody, that somebody may come to yield their lives and to surrender unto thee, O God. Holy Ghost, walk down the aisles and tug at somebody's heart. Cause them to come forward in the name of Jesus Christ and to make a declaration that for Christ I live and for Christ I die. Oh God, have your way right now, and we shall continue to give you the glory, the praise, and the honor. You're worthy to be praised, God. You're worthy to be praised, and we bless your name right now in Jesus' sweet and wonderful name. Let the people of God say together, amen, amen, and amen. You want to give someone just a few more minutes? A few more minutes. A few more minutes. If God is tugging at your heart, won't you come down the aisle? Give us your hand and give God your heart. God bless you. You may be seated. You may be seated.